So it's Christmas. A baby has been born. And so we gather together today to celebrate this birth, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And in celebrating, we also wrap up kind of the series we've been walking through over the last few weeks. That for those of you that are visiting with us this morning, we've spent the last few weeks kind of diving into some of the popular Christmas songs, and largely using these songs to drive us into the Christmas story, to explore some of the story of this birth of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the angel's announcement to shepherds, and why do shepherds matter, and do shepherds have anything to do with the story? Last week, we looked at this little town of Bethlehem, and why Bethlehem? Couldn't Jesus have been born anywhere? Is there anything special about Bethlehem? And so today we continue and we finish off the series by going into the last song we're going to look at. And the song that we're not going to do is it's beginning to look a lot like, what is it out there? Nothing says Christmas like gray and dreary and wet, right? But so we finish the series by looking at the song, A Joy to the World. And as we've been doing, I'll put the first verse on and then we'll dive into the Bible. A joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, heaven and nature sing, heaven and nature sing. For those of you that are familiar with the song, you know that the verses begin with this refrain of joy, of joy, of joy to the world. And so this morning I want to largely explore a question. What is joy, and why, how can we have joy? Why can we have joy? Joy. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2. We'll read verses 8 through 20. It's on page 992 in your pew Bibles. Luke, chapter 2. We've read these verses a couple times already during Advent, but we're going to read them one more time this morning. Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke 2, starting at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Please pray with me. Almighty God, as we open your word this morning, Lord, we pray that you would open us, that you would open our hearts, our minds, our ears, to hear what it is you have to say to us this morning. So, Lord, we pray that we would hear your voice and that we pray that we would leave changed. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So the story centers on these shepherds that are watching their flocks, watching their sheep out in the fields. So we have these shepherds watching their sheep. They're doing their jobs. This is what these shepherds do. Their job is to watch sheep. I imagine this day was just like every other day, except this day wasn't just like every other day, because this day, when the shepherds are watching their sheep, on this day the sky lights up and angels, an angel, a messenger of God appears in front of them. This day isn't like every other day. This angel appears and the angel has a message. The angel begins and says to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid," which is exactly what angels always say when they first show up on the scene. Because apparently the whole ordeal is terrifying. That these shepherds are out doing their job, they're doing what they always do, and the sky lights up, and a messenger from God appears before them and says, "Do not be afraid." Which, I think it's funny how we've taken these angels who always come into the scene, always first saying, "Do not be afraid," and how we today, we've kind of taken them and made them these cute little precious moment-like figures, haven't we? They always look completely normal and completely expected. And if you Google image search the word angel, you come up with pictures like this. How cute is that? The problem is if these show up, the last thing they have to say is, "Do not be afraid," right? Because apparently when you read through the Bible, the entire experience is frightening. You're doing what you always do. You're working. You're out in the field. You're tending the flocks. And then out of nowhere, the sky lights up and this messenger from God comes to you. Apparently it's terrifying. So this message says, this angel says, "Do not be afraid," because this angel hasn't come to harm them. This angel hasn't come to hurt them. This angel has come with a message. The angel continues and says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So that first part, I bring you good news. It's actually where we get the word gospel, the word euangelion. But this message of Jesus is good news. This message of Jesus has always been good news. It always will be good news, which means that if you find yourself sitting here this morning and you've ever heard the message of Jesus, if you've ever understood the message of Jesus to be anything other than good news, I'd like you to consider that maybe that means the message of Jesus, maybe somebody's miscommunicated that to you, or maybe somebody has misrepresented who Jesus is to you. That maybe some of you are sitting here this morning and you understand the message of Jesus to be essentially this killjoy type. It's almost as if Jesus is this mythical figure that sits on your shoulder and tells you all of the things you can't do. But the problem is that a mythical figure sitting on your shoulder screaming "thou shalt nots" into your ear isn't good news. For some of you, you may have understood that the message is that we can use and exploit and abuse this world because we're just passing through. This doesn't actually matter. But the problem is that's not good news. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you've ever understood, you've ever thought of the message of Jesus to be anything other than good news, I invite you to open yourself to the possibility that the angels are right. That this message of Jesus, of God with us, truly is good news. And the angels continue. They say that this is good news of great joy. It's good news of great joy. And we're going to camp here for a little bit this morning because I think it's important. Because I think that we largely misunderstand these concepts of joy today. And I think one of the reasons we do it is because I think in a lot of our understanding, these ideas of joy and happiness are almost one and the same, right? That joy and happiness are almost one and the same. And although I think they're related, I think there's also some pretty significant differences. You see, happiness is generally tied to events or circumstances. Happiness is often our reaction to something that happens to us. For example, on Sunday, the Lions squeaked out a victory, and so I spent Sunday night happy, right? My kids have opened some Christmas presents. How many of you have done presents already? Yeah. So my kids have opened some Christmas presents, and so my boy went to bed clutching his Batman and his Superman happy, right? Happiness is largely our response to these events, these situations, to circumstances that happen to us, that they're often tied to events and circumstances. And so we often tell ourselves that if certain things would happen, if certain things would happen to us, if we would come into more money, if we would get a better job, if our kids would listen a little bit more often, then on that day, then we will be really happy, right? We often tell ourselves these things, that if this and this and that would happen, then I'll be happy. The problem is it's simply not true. See, psychologists have actually done studies on groups of people and what makes them happy over time, and what they found is really pretty shocking. In one specific study, some psychologists watched a group of lottery winners, some people that came into a significant chunk of money really quickly. And what they found is that right after winning the lottery, this group of people were really, really happy. They were way happier than they were before winning the lottery, which we'd expect, right? What was really interesting is that this study showed that a year after winning, these people were no more happy than they were before having won. That they were exactly the same, that their happiness had leveled off. It was exactly the same as it was before they won. And what they recognized has come to be known as the hedonistic treadmill or hedonistic adaptation, which basically says that each one of us has a baseline for happy, and that events or circumstances, situations will happen in our life which will make us more happy or less happy, but over time, we largely kind of level off into this baseline that we have for happy. And what they recognize is that there are certain intentional activities we can do to raise this line, but really what the studies showed is that happiness is really pretty fickle. That happiness comes and it goes, and it's largely something that we respond to what happens around us, but it's really pretty fickle. Joy, I think, is different. That joy isn't necessarily our response to an event or a circumstance, but joy is more of a way we view the world. It's an attitude, it's a worldview, it's a way we view the world around us. And I think we get a hint of this when we look at the word in the Greek. You see, the Old Testament was written almost entirely in Hebrew with a little spattering of Aramaic. The New Testament was written entirely in Greek. And so this story happening in the New Testament has a Greek word we're going to look at this morning. It's the Greek word chara. Everybody say chara. Yeah, and it's another one of those words that if something doesn't end up on the back of the person in front of you, you're probably not saying it right. Chara, which means joy or joyfulness. So I bring you good news of great joy, of chara. Now, what's really interesting is that in the Greek, certain words are related to one another. They're closely connected to one another. And this word chara is related to another word, charis. And charis means grace. So chara is connected to, it's related to charis, which means grace. So joy is connected to grace. Joy is related to grace. But how? Well, central to the understanding, to our understanding of grace, is an idea of gift. That central to our understanding of grace is an idea of gift. I mean, we see it all the time in Paul. Paul has this great statement about salvation, saying that it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not by works. That Paul is saying that we cannot earn our salvation. We have never deserved it, but it is simply given to us by grace through faith. It is gift. So joy is connected to grace, which is this idea of gift. That joy is largely connected to a way of viewing the world as if everything we have is gift. The very breath that we're drawing in and out right now, the breath that you're holding in your lungs, that breath that you weren't even aware of until I drew your attention to it, that breath is gift. the family, the friends that will gather together with this afternoon are gifts. The food that will be set in front of us on that table is gift. The laughter we share with those around us, the hug of someone we love, the time we spend with those, the love we share with those around us, all of life, everything we have is gift. So this idea of joy is tied to this understanding of grace, of life being gift. And so these angels proclaim this message of good news, of great joy. So what is the message? What is the news? The angels continue and say, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So I think it's only fitting that this message of good news, of great joy, is a message of none other but a gift. A gift, the gift of God's Son, of Jesus, God with us. The message the angels proclaim is a gift, the greatest gift we could ever receive. The gift that would go on to reconcile all things to himself. This gift that would go on to take the broken pieces of the world and make them right. This gift that is seeking to make the world new, to make all wrongs right. What we celebrate is this gift, which is exactly what Jesus said in some of the, maybe the most popular verses we know in the Bible, in John chapter 3. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is what we celebrate at Christmas. This gift that God has given the world in Jesus. This gift that wasn't wrapped in paper and tied with a bow and placed under a tree, but the gift that was wrapped in swaddling cloths and placed in a feeding trough. This is the gift we celebrate today during Christmas. It's the gift, it's the greatest gift we could ever be given. It's the gift that brings us life. It's the gift that is truly good news. It is the gift that truly is joy to the world. Please pray with me. Father God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. Of God with us. We thank you for his birth, his life, his death and resurrection, that through our faith in Jesus Christ, we are brought back into relationship with you, that through Jesus you are looking, you are seeking, working to heal the entire world, to make all things right. We celebrate that today. We pray this all in his name. Amen.